Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LiveParanormal.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts. The other one's Rob Zarek. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
That's great. Glad to hear it.
It is good, because, you know, there are times that I will say exactly how I'm doing, and, you know, it makes a little bit of an awkward conversation. But I am genuinely fantastic. I don't have anything to report negative. Maybe just minor things. So, you know, outside of those minor things, I'm fantastic.
Well, that's fabulous. Glad to hear it.
It is fabulous.
Yeah.
Not a word I use. As that was coming out, it was one of those things that we often talk about words that I should never say again. And I don't think that's on the list. I think it just made the list because I felt awkward saying it. And as it was coming out, I definitely put the stressor on, like, the B, and it just was not good.
Not you. It wasn't you.
No, it's not a word that is in my vocabulary anyway. And then, like, as I was trying to pronounce it correctly, I put the stressor on probably the wrong part. You know, and I'm big on that. You know, that's I often tell people how they should stress their words, which, you know, I don't know why I do that, but I think you have to. It's all about marketing. You know, we had the Purple Dahlia, not your average medium, on. I think last week last week, and you know, she always gets a kick out of the fact that I pronounce.
She gets
not
a good stressor word.
Yeah, well, because she, you know, she does say it in a full, long sentence, her title,
right.
And I think it breaks it up a little bit and stresses she's not your average medium, but.
Right.
Hey, there's a free
I think it's important. It's important. You know, it sounds much better the way that you stress it. I appreciate that.
You know what?
It's nice.
I appreciate the actual compliment.
Well, not a problem. Hey, when it's fast and it's right, then I'll give it to you.
Marking it down on my compliment notebook. Still on page
one, good.
On
good,
line
good, good.
Three. I have a compliment notebook, and then I have the one that's the negative remarks. And I've gone through four notebooks of negative ones, and I'm still on page one of my compliment book. So we got to try to even that out. So,
well, maybe you're not writing the same size.
Could be.
I might be tainting
it.
Maybe you should start typing it to the font. You can regulate the font size, so then it could be, you know, a more maybe factual statement. Just the thought.
Well, we all know a good joke on me is to talk about my eyesight, and my eyesight is not up to par. Even to the point where I had got one of my birthday presents this year was for an eye exam. And I guess, you know, that really is a kick in the eye when someone tells you.
Kick in the eye?
Here's your, because it is, you know, it's a kick in the eye, the eyeball.
A stab in the eyeball. That's my favorite thing. My favorite threat.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And
glad you remembered.
Which, leads me to a funny coincidence with that, not being able to see that wonderful. And what I have to do now is kind of like reread things just to make sure I'm seeing the right thing. And, you know, tonight's guest, JoJo Wright, on his bio, they said that one of his fun facts was he had a cake fight with Michael Jackson at Neverland Ranch. Now, the first time I read it, I didn't necessarily read the word cake. I thought it said cage. And I was like, he was in a cage fight with Michael Jackson? That's crazy. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. Let's revert back to my bad eyesight. And you know, I don't know how I will look with glasses. I know I will need them. I probably, but you know, let's just go back to, there's no really good reason why, but, you know, I've learned to, you know, look at it. Like, if it doesn't necessarily make sense, I may be reading it incorrectly.
Yes.
You know, so.
That, although a cage mic, or a cage match, sorry, I'm thrown off now, with Michael Jackson, that's kind of cool. That's kind of exciting. So, I mean, so it's a cake fight, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But, like.
But I can see where, like, a cage fight would be more. You know,
shocking.
Cool. Shocking. Yes.
Shocking.
Because that'd be the first time
I had
ever heard of that. I don't know how many people have gotten into cage fights with Michael Jackson in general, but when you read it my way with my poor eyesight, and it said cage fighting, you know, that.
A whole different scenario. Yeah.
It does bring up a little bit of a different side of Michael Jackson I was unaware of.
Right.
But so is he. That's why it never happened.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But
both are pretty
right
awesome. I have never done either. So there you go.
I've never done, no, me neither. And I think we should bring JoJo in. And maybe
let's do it.
Take his take on it.
Let's get the beats on it.
All right. Hey,
hello.
JoJo, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. What did I walk into? I heard the tail end of the last thing where something's happening. There's some chaos. What's happening here?
Yeah, there's a little bit of an issue with my eyesight. It's been going
a lot issue
rapidly fast. It's my eyesight's not. It's not that. No, it's not a problem. It's just, you know, it happens when you get into your 40s or maybe I had it for longer than that. But and even to the point where one of my birthday presents this year was a gift certificate for an eye exam. You know, so it's an ongoing joke. And we had talked about I was reading your bio and your fun facts. And what I have learned recently is I need to sometimes look at them more than once just to make sure, you know, I'm not getting a different letter than is written. And on your fun facts, it does say you had a cake fight with Michael Jackson. Now, my initial eyesight told me it said cage fight. It said cage fight. And so then I was like, well, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. So I read it again.
Yeah.
Just a little bit closer, blew it up a little bit. And I was like, oh, cake fight. That's a little bit more believable because the cage fight thing, I processed it as cage fight. My eyes was like, cage fight, that's amazing. But then I was like, that can't be true. Let me go back with a little bit of a magnifying glass and reread that. So that's what you walked in on. We were basically taking fun of my eyesight. And you know,
there was no cage fight. It was a cake fight. Thank goodness. But can you drive? I mean, not to get off on your business here, but can you drive? Do you have glasses where you can drive around, or does somebody have to drive you around? Like, what are we dealing with here?
Do I need to come pick you up after the show here? Yes, you do. Yeah, you have to come pick me up. You have to drive me to all of our paranormal investigations, which I probably won't be too bad for you because we've got some good ones coming up. But it's just one of those things that, like, I'll occasionally misread something. You know, it's not like I'm passing up the exits or I get to the sign. I'm like, oh, my God, that's my exit, and I have to zoom across five lanes. It's not that bad yet. It's just a little bit of like a reading issue. But I need to go, and I am a procrastinator at heart. And it's just something I haven't done. So now, like, it's become a point of, like, enjoyment for our radio program and stuff, like saying things that I – have messed up or, you know, whatever. So I'm kind of just keeping it going. It's kind of like my thing now. Now it could be, you know, to the point where I do have to actually
kind of a weird thing
taken care of. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's my thing. Because I was afraid to get contacts and I still can't quite put the contacts in my eyes. There's something about I just can't seem to get myself to do it. But maybe are you afraid of getting contacts? Is that why you're procrastinating or, you know? I'm just kind of digging here for getting glasses is pretty easy. Go get you some glasses, and that way I can come pick you up, and we'll be good. Yeah, not that I wouldn't want to conflict you
on.
I'm sure it'll be fun.
Do not have a good reason. But I guess it's something I should look into. But when you can't see well,
you need to put it on
the
list.
Issue.
But, yeah, you got to get it done.
Put it,
seems kind of
no
important.
Doubt, no doubt.
Yeah.
That would be
definitely
a helpful thing, for sure.
Definitely.
Well, it can put you into strange predicaments when you definitely, like, you know, have to read someone's bio and you're not shooting off the right thing. Like, oh, I see you were in a cage fight with Michael Jackson, you know, and that's, you know, not relevant at all or true or factual. You know, it kind of, it's a little bit of a hindrance and throws your guess for, like, a loop and stuff when you're reading the wrong material.
In a cage fight would have been probably, you know, not that having a cage fight with Michael wasn't, you know, just crazy, but being in a cage fight is next level, so that maybe that'll make me sound better as a guest. So I'll go with cage fight for now, if that works for you.
But
cage fight it is.
Gives you like it gives you a little bit of, like, a tougher element to be in a cage fight.
yeah.
You know, I don't
and
know
I'm
about cage fighting
so,
with Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, if that's like, I don't think that gives you street cred at all. But
maybe not.
You know, if we were in a cage fight with Mike Tyson, and I was like, you were in a cage fight with Mike Tyson, that would be like maybe something more that gave you that streak.
Yeah,
a cage fight with Michael Jackson. How many other people can say they've done that? I know I can't.
Yeah,
just saying.
You know, and it's one of the things we really weren't prepared to talk about today. But how did that even happen?
Yeah.
Since we've been talking about it, we might as
well
just hear the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, if I were in a cage fight, Mike Tyson, I wouldn't be here talking to you today. I'd still be, you know, in pieces, you know, it'd be a bad scene. So I wouldn't be alive. So thank God that didn't happen. But no, I was invited. I work at a radio station. My day job is I work at a radio station in L.A. If anybody's from L.A., it's called Kiss FM. And we were invited to host a charity event at Neverland. This is a long time ago. This is 2003, I believe it was. And there was a daytime and a nighttime event. And we got invited to host the nighttime event. Oddly enough, Mike Tyson was there that night, but I forget the date, but it was the same date as an Oscar De La Hoya fight. And they had Mike Tyson, Michael Jackson has a theater on the grounds of Neverland, or had a theater on the grounds of Neverland. They had turned the Oscar De La Hoya fight on for Mike Tyson in that theater. I never saw him personally there. I just knew he was there because they asked me to page him to the stage at one point, although I never saw him. But Michael Jackson, back to him. It was a charity event. And they had a big, like a tent, almost like a circus tent set up on the grounds of Neverland. And it was Michael's birthday a little bit after this event, but we decided to bring him a cake out. We brought this big cake onto the stage, and all the fans start singing. The people that had paid to be there for the event started singing "Happy Birthday" to Michael Jackson, and I kind of stepped back with my microphone. It was Michael was in the front, and I had the mic in the back. And Michael reaches down to throw a piece. He grabs a piece of cake and he gives it to somebody, you know, having some fun. Gives it to somebody in that front little row, that front little area. And I had heard about these cake fights for so long that I kind of, you know, I said, oh, my God, looks like we're going to have a cake fight. Everybody look out. Just kind of baiting it. I didn't think anything would really happen, to be quite honest. And he turns to Nick and Aaron Carter, you know, Nick Carter from Backstreet Boys and his brother Aaron. And they start saying something back and forth. And one thing leads to another, and they start throwing cake at each other. Michael throws first, and cake's going everywhere. Then Michael at some point just spins around, and there I am looking at Michael Jackson, the man. And he's about to throw cake at me. This is where I'm going to sound like a real goof here. He's about to throw cake at me, but he stops because he doesn't know me. He's thinking maybe I shouldn't throw cake. Maybe this guy doesn't want cake on. And stupid me, I said, hit me, Michael. And he goes, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. And it was crazy. He smashed cake. He was a sniper with the cake, and I had cake. It was everywhere. It was crazy. And that was it. That's the whole story. But I'm a big Michael fan, and just to be able to tell that story sounds surreal. But it happened years ago, Neverland, like late 2003 or mid 2000. I forget the date, but 2003.
Wow, that's crazy.
Isn't that
nuts? It is.
It is wild. Yeah. When I tell that story, it almost seems like I'm making it up, but I swear it's true. We weren't allowed photos, but I do have pictures of some of it, because some fans snuck video cams into the into Neverland, and they've since after that event, like years after, post video of it. And so I'll come across a video of it every now and then, and I've got a few still shots from those videos. That's how every now and then you'll see me post something about that Michael event, and that's where those things came from. It was just somebody's random video that I just grabbed a still from.
That's awesome.
That's a crazy story to start off the show with. No relevance to paranormal, just an amazing story. It's fun.
I'll tell you one thing that I can – I'll make the segue for you real quick.
Give me a good segue.
Here's – and I don't have the haunted story yet, but I'm hoping to get it. But this ties into Michael. Michael's son, Prince Jackson, he has a charity called Heal L.A., which I just had a meeting with Prince and his business partner, John, about this charity. And I'm going to be an ambassador for their charity. It's a really cool thing, and it's really cool to meet Prince Jackson. But at the end of our meeting, I said, okay, this is random, guys, but I'm really into the paranormal. I've got a podcast called Paranormalish. Do you have any good paranormal stories for me? And I'm not leading up to a great story here, but Prince Jackson said, oh, man, Havenhurst is haunted, which is the famous Jackson family home in Encino. And I said, okay, let me know if you want to do a podcast on that and tell me that I want to hear the story. So I'm hoping to get the Havenhurst at some point. I don't know what it is, but now we've turned the corner into the paranormal world. But I'm excited to hear what he has to say at some point.
Definitely.
Yeah, that
would be
a cool exclusive to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Wow.
So
we can speculate on who the haunt is about, but who knows? But hit me with some questions. What you got? I'm ready, guys. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Well, no, obviously you gave us the segue, so I will build off of that. We know that you investigate the paranormal. You're an enthusiast just like we are, and we did get the cheat because we looked through your bio and your fun facts, and I know. This is something that we do. You mentioned in your fun facts that you feel like you got your paranormal, you get introduced to paranormal through your mom. And I'll let Nick take it on that one, because we stop in graveyards all the time. We just went to the Blair Witch graveyard, and she'll tell you we're big fans of just randomly stopping and walking and taking pictures.
Right, because I used to actually, every house except for the one that I'm currently living in that I have owned or lived in when I was younger was across from a graveyard. I, being a little kid, would go over and, walk through the graveyard, and I would clean up the graves, for fun. And I guess, a lot of people are like, that explains a lot, given pretty much my life is the paranormal,
I wonder why you guys ended up, I wonder what are the coincidences. I don't know how many houses you moved to and from, but what are the chances that every house you guys lived in was across from a graveyard? That seems like you almost have to try.
Seek it out.
If you're looking for a new house, we need to live next to a graveyard. Sorry, I can't move there. I doubt your parents did that, but it does seem like a crazy coincidence,
Well, then the first house I bought was actually, and I still own, it's a rental property of mine, is across from a graveyard. So it's like it must have been. It's embedded within me. It's embedded. I know that you did picnics in graveyards, right?
Yeah, my mom, our family has a kind of an unspoken paranormal history, and I've recently reached out to mom to give me some more backstory on certain things, but she would and she'll tell you if you talk to her, she'll tell you it was just, she was trying to save money, and she would take us to, and I recall going to, Jack in the Box or KFC. For some reason, those two little, restaurants stick in my head. We'd go to one of those places and we'd get a little something. And my mom would take us to this little, seating area outside the graveyard. Now she'll tell you it was just a beautiful place and, real pretty and comfortable and just getting out in the sun and, and saving money. I would run through the graveyard and your imagination just goes crazy. You think you see something. you're afraid at some point, but you're also excited. You know, if I was so afraid, I would have just left, but I stayed there to see, but still kind of ready to run at any moment. And this, you know, that would happen over and over. And I just found it super fascinating. Now, I can't tell you if I had an experience at one of those graveyards or not, but the interest certainly, I think that's where it, you know, sort of started. And, and I don't see how anyone could be, you know, not interested in the paranormal, because it's so fascinating to me. So I'm surprised when people are not intrigued by it, but that's kind of where it started for me. In my family history, we've got a few people in our family. I have a cousin that a little bit of the gift. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what, you know. My grandmother, the same way, had a little bit of that gift. And my other grandmother had an out-of-body experience once. I guess you'd call it an NDE, near-death experience.
Right.
So these little things, she was stung by a bee because she was allergic to bees. And at one point she was stung by this bee or wasp, whatever it was, hospital, ER, the whole bit. And she recalls floating above her body, looking down on them as they work on her. And then when she came to later, because obviously they saved her at this point, she's passed now, but she told them things that you would have had to have been in the room conscious to notice. And she was, she had flatlined. And granted, that doesn't always give you, you know, the gift, but it's certainly an interesting conversation. So we've had a few of those things in our family. And I don't know if I don't know if it's just wishful thinking or not, but I keep thinking I'm getting better. And when I walk through a haunted location, I'm trying to get better at sensing things, because people will tell you that anybody can do it, but you really have to kind of shed those layers and make the veil thinner, so to speak. And I don't know if I'm there yet. I'm not there yet, but I am. I keep thinking I'm improving at least. So one of these days, if I can ever master that, and it's kind of like my cousin, I believe, has, or my grandmother, that'll be an exciting day for me. Although it might be scary as well, because, I don't know if there's always an off switch to that gift. So that's
right.
The only thing that would concern me with that. But that's
how I
got started.
I love that gift. I'd love that gift.
Really?
Because I seem to be gravitated toward, dead people, spirits, ghosts, more so than living. So, maybe it would change my point of view, though, and I'd just be like all by myself, not looking for anything. I don't know.
It is an interesting concept, because, it's just, the on-off switch is what gets me, because it's like if you have and I've talked to so many people about this, and some people that are credible, just like you guys have. And if spirits, if they realize that you can hear them, you can see them, you can talk to them, it's like turning a big, like it's like a business, and you're all of a sudden your flashing light says on, we're open for business, because
right.
Probably, I'm guessing it would be tough to find, a lot of people that can really have, communicate and get messages to loved ones. So if they realize that you have that, man, that'd be like lining up to get the COVID shot. You'd be ready to
right.
go. But the thing is, like I'm saying, is my concern, and maybe I don't know where you stand, is when it's time to shut the business down. Like, okay, we're shutting down for the night.
Right.
But you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and there's somebody at the end of your bed. That's a bit much. So I don't know. That's one thing I wouldn't know how. It would just scare me to death. Although it's exciting, that might really freak me out.
right, and it could get
it
super
could
annoying.
Grow,
it's like I just
old.
Want to sleep.
Could grow old fast.
yeah.
Right. At 3 o'clock, you're like, I'm trying to get to the sleeper. Can you get that? But
right.
That would
Did
be,
you see the lights
it,
off?
It'd be interesting.
yeah. That's funny.
For
sure.
We've interviewed a ton of mediums and psychics, and actually during lockdown and the COVID, we actually put something out, and it was free reading night. And a lot of people at home, there are a lot of people who had nothing going on, and they used the free reading night as kind of like an outlet to listen and call in. And we would do almost every night, and we learned so much about different styles and techniques, and there's like no one way that you could say, oh, this is how a psychic or a medium functions. They all have their own little quirks and their own little things. I always thought it was just putting two fingers to your temples and you can read. That was the thing.
Right.
Still use it as my mimicking thing for a psychic. You've got to put your two fingers to your temple. But, it's it's interesting to hear, like, about turning that stuff on and off, because it does differ for each person. So I guess that would be the scary thing, would be there's no, like, right or wrong answer. There's no, like, oh, you just do this and you can turn it off. You could be stuck with people, you know, in your car, in your shower, and everywhere you're going that you don't want them to be. You know, so I think that is a correct train of thought, because, you know, one thing that we've learned is, like, there's no clear-cut way that people can just turn it off. They all have different ways, and they have to learn their different ways. So, you know, God only knows how long that could take.
Now, when you guys have done paranormal investigations and you bring a psychic on, or a psychic medium, I guess I'm always curious. There's a lot of great psychics and a lot of great mediums, but there's also, you know, a fair amount of fakes and just people doing it just to get a little attention here and there and whatnot. So I guess I'm real cautious on who I use and people that, I mean, I guess there's no real, like, I don't know if that person's seeing a spirit. I don't know for sure, even if the ones that I trust. So I guess I just have to choose who I trust and choose who I don't trust. But I guess I'm always concerned about, you know, just relying everything on a psychic. Sometimes I like to go with people who, just real people, who just have a crazy, unexplainable encounter that seem credible. Sometimes I really like those as much as the psychics, although I find the mediums are helpful at times, you know, clearly. But
definitely.
Real everyday people with nothing to gain from the stories, but have a credibility to them that aren't trying to, they're not trying to be a ghost hunter like us, you know. Those are some fascinating stories. I'm sure you guys have come across some crazy ones. And those are really, you know, like I had there was a girl. Well, I don't know if you would, how much time do we have here? Should I tell you one of my stories or no?
Yeah, go for it.
We run the network, so even if we go over, we're okay.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Go as long as you want.
So I'm talking to the bosses. You guys are the bosses. Good.
Yeah.
That's it.
I have a podcast called Paranormalish, and one of the episodes, it's called Braiding Grandmother's Hair. And I do this radio show in L.A. These three girls came in. Well, one girl came in for an interview about something totally separate than paranormal. But they knew that I love speaking to people that have had paranormal encounters. So she brought her two sisters with her. And she says, JoJo, you got to hear this. They lived in a city called Northridge, which is in the valley here in L.A., which I'm not sure. Where are you guys located at? I know you're not in L.A., but where are you guys at?
So I'm in Cleveland.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
And I'm actually right outside of Baltimore, Maryland.
Gotcha. Perfect. Man, okay, so L.A., they live in a house in Northridge, which is referred to as the Valley. You've heard of the Valley, I'm sure, over the years, you know, the Valley Girls, all that. But that's the Valley.
Oh,
and they lived in Northridge, and they were the mom, dad, grandmother, three daughters. They were pretty young at the time, 7, 8, 9, give or take. Grandmother passed away. They were so close to grandmother that they were just heartbroken, obviously, that the parents chose to not tell the kids. And they didn't tell the kids for about a year after. And the way they got away with it was, you know, grandmother, you know, she would get sick off and on. So they would say either, you know, grandmother's in the hospital, she's not here. Grandmother's staying with aunt so-and-so, uncle so-and-so. They kept this up if they asked, you know, why she wasn't there. And it made sense to the kids. The kids had no idea until a year after she passed that she was gone. So rewind about a week after the funeral. Once again, kids have no idea. Mom calls upstairs, hey, food's ready. Come down and get some food. And one of the daughters says, I can't come down. I'm braiding grandmother's hair. She's an adult telling me this story now, although she was a kid then. Make of that what you will. But she had something in her hand. There was a person there. As far as she knew, it was grandmother. Insane. It is just, I find little stories like that crazy. And that's one of the, she had something physical in her hand. That story just shook me to the core. So, the girl that told me the story was a girl named Francia Reisa, who is on a TV show called Grownish. But her sister is the one that had that. They all had different experiences, but her youngest sister is the one that had that experience. And
that's crazy.
And it's just crazy. I know we're looking at about 8 o'clock now. Do you need to do anything special? Because I can talk forever if you guys. I know you're the boss of the network, but I can pause if you guys want.
No, we'll just keep going. We don't have to pause or anything.
Yeah,
we'll
roll with it
if we want to. We just keep going.
Okay.
One thing we do is we let the station IDs kind of run based on the host's discretion, because you're like right in the middle, you're telling a great story. We don't want to be like, well, you got to pause. You know, so we kind of leave that open to, you know, a time period that, hey, do this then, or make your station ID then, but or here at some point. But let's just keep, we'll just keep rolling.
Yeah.
There, well, here's another one I found interesting. And these are all, you know, once again, stories from the, you know, some of these are, or most of these are stories from different podcast episodes. But, and most of, you know, I'll interview a lot of artists, like a lot of, I deal in the pop music world quite a bit. But some of these are just, you know, normal people, which are usually the best stories. But this one, there's an artist, I don't know if you know an artist named Halsey.
Yeah.
Right? You've ever heard of Halsey? Yeah, she is from New York. Yeah, she, she was a young kid, you know, way back in the day, and she, you know, living with her mom, and she would, you know, little kids, you'll sing songs, you'd do whatever. Like she would have this, but she would recite this number, and she didn't tell me what the number was, but she would, I'll just make it 4-3-2-4-5-6-6, whatever. You know, 5-5-5. She would just walk around saying the same number over and over. 5-5-5-3-3-3-5-5-5, and you know, she would sing it in songs. She would just something about this number. But, you know, nobody really thought anything of it because, you know, that's just what kids do. They sing, they make up little games, whatever. Well, her aunt comes over one day, and little Halsey is singing, you know, 555-333. Once again, I'm just making up that number. But she's singing this number, and her aunt turns to her mom and says, do you know what that, you know what she's singing? And her mom's like, no, what are you talking about? That was their great-grandmother's phone number.
Whoa.
And there's, the number I said, Halsey, was it posted anywhere in the house? Is there a reason you would have seen this number? She goes, no. I mean, she had already passed. We're not going to call her. You know, we went through all the possibilities, at least what we could think of, on why she would have this number in her head. I mean, complete coincidence, maybe. That's a stretch, I think. And she told me she didn't. She never saw her great grandmother. Her great never came to her in a vision or anything like that. You know, nothing. Have you ever heard of a story like that where a kid is repeating somebody's, you know, somebody who had passed phone number?
No, not a phone number.
What's interesting is we have. You know, we speak at a lot of conventions. We do more. Like Wizard World Comic Cons and stuff, like big conventions that are not necessarily always just paranormal, because I think the people, we get a really good amount of people come watch and then give us questions afterwards. And there's a lot of times that people will come and they'll say, hey, my 6-year-old or my 7-year-old or my 5-year-old sees these things or remembers these things. And you know, what's cool about that is we can tell them that I know her and I both have children that have said like the darndest things. And so I guess we kind of can, you know, relate to that. No, to give you my quick example, and she'll give you hers. My grandparents died before any of my kids were born. And I had felt guilty, and I took some, like probably more of the stuff from their house than I should have. You know, like you're going to throw this out. I'm like, oh my God, you can't throw away, you know, my grandma's Christmas stuff or whatever. So let me take it. So I took it and I brought it into my house. And my daughter was probably 3 or 4 at the time. And I was bringing some of the stuff out. And so it was from the 60s. And the stuff from the 40s and 50s, I really liked. And even, you know, beforehand, the Art Deco stuff, I think the ornaments are just really amazing. But I had like a 60s wreath that I put up it's been sitting in a box. I feel like, let's bring it out. And my daughter, who was 4, she looked at it and she started touching it and stuff. She's like, I remember that from when I was married. And I was like, wait, what are you talking about?
What?
She's like, that was mine from when I was married. And, you know, I don't even think she knew the concept of being married. I mean, she's 3 or 4. You know, I'm 4. I don't even think she was that old, like 3. And she said, I remember that from when I was married. And, every time she would come by that year, and you know what? I didn't put it back up either. It had broke because it was already falling apart. But it was just the oddest thing to kind of like, you had to take that in stride you know, and just kind of keep
right.
going with the conversation. Like, what are you talking about? Where, you know, and it sets you back a little bit because you know that your grandparents, Reese, and she's like, hey, I remember that from when I was married. So I thought that was pretty
wow.
strange.
Yeah. I have an equally strange occurrence.
Let's hear it. Mine.
Mine's super weird, and it was just, it's still weird to me to even talk about it. So my son was that magic age, evidently, which is 3, it seems, and we're at the table, and my kids are kind of far apart in age, so my oldest is sitting there, we're eating, and my youngest goes, hey, Mom. And I go, what? You know, like I haven't heard that 10,000 times in a day. And he goes, do you remember when we used to dig up the bodies and steal the gold teeth? Right? And I'm like, excuse me? And my, yes. So my oldest, right, he's just like, he was actually paying attention. Oh, he puts his hand, he like rested his elbow on the table, puts his hand in his face. He goes, oh, Luke, tell us more. Right. And, you know, like, oh, this is rich. Right. And he's like, Mommy and I used to dig up bodies and steal the gold teeth. And I'm like, where in the hell would you have gotten that from? Like, you're 3. Okay. You watch like, I don't even know. It was like Blue's Clues or Elmo. Okay. Like they're pretty sure Elmo's World did not feature, you know, let's dig up the bodies and steal the gold teeth today. You know? So I was thinking to myself, like, I didn't discredit him. I just said, tell me more, you know, okay. And, you know, he proceeded to tell me how, you know, we would dig them up, we'd steal the gold teeth, and then we would sell the teeth for money. And I'm like, you're 3. How do you put that together to be able to, and I'm just thinking to myself, what in the world does he tell them at daycare? You know?
Can you imagine? The teacher's like, wait, what?
Wait, you and your mommy did what?
Do you have a theory on what that? Did you do any research on what that could have been from, or how that, like, why you would say
I
that?
I think it was a past life that he was recalling of something that he must have done in a past life. He's having a recollection, and I don't even know. We were just eating at the table, so what brought that out or what brought that on? I have no idea. But, you know, for a 3-year-old to come up with that and then talk about then selling the gold teeth for money, that's a pretty advanced, you know, way of thinking. And I still can't fathom how it couldn't be from, like, a past life that he was having some sort of recollection from. You know, it just kind of blew my mind.
Aside from that, I don't know what else could it be. I mean, if he wasn't watching anything with that story, which Blue's probably not going to be doing that, you know.
Right.
That's pretty. That's interesting. I haven't done much, you know. I haven't done much studying on past lives and that type thing. Maybe I should do some digging on that and see what we can come up with, because that is, it's an interesting concept. I don't know where I stand on that, but that's fascinating to hear him say something like that.
Yeah, blew my mind.
Yeah,
still
blew my mind.
Things
that we've encountered stories. So many stories, and the kids are all like 7 and under, but it's mostly like 3 to 5, you know, and this is the point where like people don't even know we have these stories. I mean, we share them a little bit on our you know, live show, our podcast or whatever, but, you know, at big events and public events, people will come and they'll say, hey, this might sound weird. First of all, we always stop the people like, wait, you're talking to us. So there's really no,
this
might sound weird. Because, you know,
we've
seen some weird things, you know. So I think that is one thing that we actually were doing like a series on, where we'd have some people call in that, you know, were more in tune with that and did that type of thing. And it was really interesting to pick their brains and, you know, find out you know, how they accomplish, you know, going back. And the one thing that everyone could, you know, they were certain on, that it was the age between 3 to 5. That, you know, I think once you become over 5, you become more tainted by life and you lose those memories. But for whatever it is, it's like those 3 to 5-year-olds, that's the age that you'll get some crazy.
You never
crazy
know what's
going to
come out.
Have you guys come across the, because I did a podcast with the guy about an imaginary friend he had as a kid. But I'm not so sure how imaginary this kid was. I forget the title of the podcast. It's Paranormalish. That's my podcast. I called it Imaginary Friend. But the thing that really got me on this one was this imaginary friend, he would start to tell him to do some bad things. Now, granted, you know, kids will blame and do something bad on an imaginary friend just to get them, you know, out of trouble and whatnot. But he never did do it. And finally, he told his mom. His mom said, "Who's telling you to do these things?" Well, so-and-so, that's his name. Things kind of progressed, and I forget all the details. It's been a minute since I talked with him. But there was a night where he was having a nightmare. And this is where the paranormal really side of it really caught me. He was having a nightmare, and he was tossing and turning, and his mom runs in there, and she grabs her son, but something pulls him back the other way.
Oh, snap.
And I don't know, there's a lot to the story that I'm leaving out, but that's when I'm thinking, how imaginary is this friend? So maybe it wasn't an imaginary friend. It was more like just a spirit that wasn't, you know, it was a little boy form. And he said, even after all this stuff happened and they so-called cast him out or whatever, once again, I forget all the details. The kid never messed with him anymore, this spirit, but he would always be, he could still see him at times in the distance, but he wouldn't mess with him. Kind of like he's watching him every now and then. Now he eventually went away. Maybe he went away, just like you said, after a certain age, you kind of develop, you know, you kind of lose that, you know, that ability or whatnot. But that was, it's kind of scary. Another friend of mine had an imaginary friend. Nothing bad happened. He was in Puerto Rico. But his mom heard him playing with somebody. And she heard the other voice and her son. But she goes in there there's no other kid. And he said, "What are you playing with?" "I'm playing with so-and-so." And, you know, it kind of freaked her out. I think it was at their grandparents' house or something like that. But this little kid would hang around his grandparents' house or some relative's house, and they would play.
Whoa.
And as far as he knew at the time, it was his little friend. But now that he's an adult, looking back on it, it's kind of jarring to realize that what he saw was, you know, wasn't real, so to speak. So it's pretty staggering.
Wow.
No, that is interesting. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, man, this is too bad that you told this story on air, because if you would have told it between the two of us, I would have then turned it into a spin. And anytime Nikki got mad at me, I just would have been like, well, that was my imaginary friend that told me to say that. And that could have been my little thing that I could have ran with. But now, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to run with that.
I probably would have just smacked
you
whether or not I heard the story. So I would have been like, right, okay, whatever.
I did not say that. That was little Billy whispering in my ear to say that.
And I'm guessing that if she smacked you, it's not going to be an imaginary smack. It's going to be a real smack. So you got to look out for that. The smack down.
Probably so.
It could be my imaginary friend did it. His eyes are so bad, he'll never know.
There you go.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I love it.
That's what we need more of. That's an excuse I've never used, and it might be good to use. You can pull that one out. I think, like, if you actually use that in an everyday setting and you said that to somebody, like, I think they would just, like, you'd freeze. Like, what someone said that to you? Well, my imaginary friend told me to do it. You know,
that
could be a good
remember,
out.
Though, we were at that horror event in Gettysburg, the horror event in Gettysburg. And remember the gentleman in the bathroom who was, like, having a fight with another person, but the person wasn't there, complete with the weird voices, too. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and he, which is like, that's a whole other thing that takes you down that schizophrenia, you know, thing, and what really is occurring there. And I know there's a lot of research done between the two with paranormal.
Well, there's a lot of crossover where, you know, people who are suffering from a mental illness will have paranormal experiences, but they're discredited because they state that it's, you know, it's just a hallucination due to the mental illness. But, you know, sometimes maybe it's not. Maybe it's a mix of the both. You know, obviously it's one of those things that would be hard to differentiate and determine. But, you know, I wonder how many people are really actually affected. I mean, not saying their entire mental condition may be caused by, but perhaps there's facets within. You know?
Yeah, that's one of the questions when it comes to possession and exorcism. Are they really possessed, or is it a mental illness? So that's a fine line, and I don't have the answers to that. But it does make you think. I do believe that possession, it's real. It does happen, but which ones are real and which
happens.
Ones aren't, I would imagine at times are tough, you know.
We have a possession story. And if you want to hear it, I can give it to you in 30-second version. We do. So
let me hear
this.
Let me hear it.
We're two people that you'll never find that would buy into like a possession story. So that's why I think it gets everyone is because it's us that tells the story. You know, so it happened to us, and like no one would ever think we would never make anything up. And even the buy the kind of possession story, like I have what just the most inner eye roll every time people tell stories that I don't believe in. You know, and she's
it's a very outward eye roll,
inner,
by the way.
Okay, I say inward just to make myself feel better. So anyway, building up on that, we did an investigation here in Cleveland at a place called the House of Wills. And the House of Wills was the original, it was built in, I think, the early to mid-1800s. It was the original playhouse for, and the original opera house for Cleveland. And in the early, during Prohibition, it was a speakeasy, and then the Wills family bought it, I believe, in the late 40s, early 50s, and they were a predominant black in the community there. So it was the to-do funeral home. So it's called the House of Wills. It was functioning up until the early 90s. And this was a while ago. It was her first trip here and never been to Cleveland. So keep in mind that this is East Cleveland. So there's a difference between East Cleveland and Cleveland. They even have, like, their own bears and stuff. East Cleveland's a place, like, it's very riddled with crime. It's not – it's gone down over the years. So we're doing our investigation. We were waiting for the owner to give us a walkthrough. We're doing our own walkthrough. And we're filming it. And – you know, when there's someone next to you, you can physically feel there's somebody standing next to you. Yeah, you know, that's just a thing.
Right.
You know someone's right there. Even if you're not touching them, you can still feel that they're there. And she'll often, like, wander off in the dark, and I can't find her. Not just the eyesight thing, it's because it's legitimately dark. And, you know, we're doing our ghost box session, and she's not there. So I'm just like, oh, maybe she went to go, like, just taking the atmosphere or something and just took a couple steps. It's pitch black. So I keep doing the ghost box session, and I look again, and she's actually there, and it looks like she's tying her shoe. You know, and she's always like, well, I wear boots. I've worn the same boots for years. They don't have ties on them. Why would I be tying my shoe? And I said, well, that's irrelevant because I really don't think about, you know, what you're doing and your women's – I'm not up on women's fashion and boots. So she's – she's tying her shoes. I'm still doing the ghost box. Another minute goes by. I look down. She's still tying her shoes. I'm like, you know, this is kind of weird. And so, like, I put my arm around her, kind of pull her up a little bit, and, like, her face is, like, gone. Like, it's, like, something I've never seen before. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just, like,
void of expression.
Void of expression. Like, it doesn't even really look like her or anything. And I'm like, are you okay? She's just, like, mumbling something. So we're in the basement, the lower level, and it was used as
in
a
the
coffin
room, like
where,
the cloud room.
Where
they displayed the coffins.
Yeah, so it was the cloud room where it had, like, ornate clouds and stuff. It's where the speakeasy had their bar, and then when the Wills took it over, that's where they displayed their coffins. You can come out and pick up, you know, you can choose the coffins for a test run or whatever. You know, so we're in the basement. We get up to the main floor. I've got her, and she's like a child. You know, like when a child's trying to get away from you, and you know, they're yanking back. And so I got her in one arm, and she starts yanking back when she wants to get away. And she's pointing down this long hallway, and she's like, I need to get to my offices. I'm like, what are you talking about? We've never been here. We don't know what's down there. What are you saying? She's like, I need to get to my offices. And so, like, I just stop for a second. I look at her, and I'm like, who are you? And she just, like, gave this weird laugh. And, you know, and she has a little bit of a southern accent. She swears a lot. And this was, like, a real drawn-out, deeper voice.
You also said, like,
no
that
accent.
Billy, the Billie Eilish video. You said I was walking on my ankles.
Yeah, like, so the reason why I had to carry her was she could not walk. There's a video, I forget, it's of, like, her very first popular song. where she's like on a bed, and then she's like walking down a hallway, and she's not really not, she's almost floating because she can't walk on her ankles. I could never explain what Nicole looked like when she was trying to walk until I saw that music video. And so I don't know if you're familiar with that at all, but
right, yeah.
I get her up to the second floor and out on like the little landing where they've got a grass pad. It's where like the coffins used or the hearse used to drive under, because you really wouldn't go outside. It's like that rough of a neighborhood. And she's standing there. And I got her propped up against, like, there's a chair and then a rail, and I was hesitant just having her, like, anywhere, like, to jump off or fall off or whatever. And then she starts talking, and she was telling me about the area. She's like, well, you know, the area's really gone down, you know, over the years. And all these weird comments about Cleveland. She's never been to Cleveland, let alone East Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
I look at her and I'm like, who are you? And she just laughed again and sat down. And I got her some water and stuff. And she just sat there with like this weird look, kind of a, like a weird smile on her face. And then all of a sudden she like snapped out of it.
And I don't recall any of this other than what he told me, the other person who was there told me.
What the heck?
And what I caught on the video, because I had a video camera running. And I'll tell you what I'm still mad about to this day is that he did not grab the camera and document this, got me out, which is great. You know, I'm sure I you know, I do appreciate it.
I went for the person.
But documented. I could have stayed for that for a little longer or whatever it was.
Being unruly and pointing down saying, where am I off? So, like, the one joke that I really found funny is, like, for, like, a good month after that, every time I would call her, and, I, you know, we talked multiple times per day, I would say, just ask her for, I'd ask for Mr. Wills. I was like, is Mr. Wills around? Can I talk to him today? And she didn't think it was that funny, but I did. And I just started doing that again. But
yeah,
like,
so we have part of it on video. Part of it is on video.
And you don't remember, and you don't recall.
I don't remember
any of it.
Nothing at all, other than what they have told me and what I saw on the video. And looking at the video, it's so strange because it really does not look like me. It's so weird. Like, it's just, it's not me. It's just not at all me.
That
is very strange. Yeah.
Would you consider that a possession of sorts? I guess that's what we're saying.
Kind of like an overtaking, because it sounds less maybe dramatic than like a possession, you know, like, because I wasn't like, you know, my head wasn't like spinning. I wasn't, you know, projectile vomiting, no, nothing like that, you know, no floating.
Well, maybe you were, we just didn't tell you. We had that
ankle walking.
Block,
I mean,
you
know? Yeah, I mean, I think you guys would have told me that by now. I would hope. I mean, maybe
yeah, well, I think
no, the ankle walking was weird.
That'll get you. With the ankle walking, whoa, that's a bit much, you know.
Yeah,
wow. Well,
I don't do that.
Would you like for that to happen again? Like if they said, hey, we know a place that this happens quite often. You seem a little bit, you know, like susceptible to it. Would you go back and try to recreate
I would
that?
Totally go do it. There's nowhere. There is not one thing that will keep me from investigating a place. I'd do it.
That'd be interesting and kind of frightening to see. And the fact that you didn't remember any of it is pretty
nothing.
Astonishing. That's pretty wild.
And we've been back there. And, you know, and I have heard from another investigator who said he had a similar situation there. And, you know, I looked at him and he's kind of a buddy of mine and he's, you know, he was a little bit of a bigger guy. And I was like, well, I'm not carrying you out. So you're just stuck. So you can hang out and be Mr. Wills as long as you want, you know.
Yeah, your ass is on your own. Get out of here.
That ain't that much. But we've been back now.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
4 or 5 times at least.
Yeah,
and,
at least, yeah. I
you know,
love
it,
the place.
It hasn't happened since. You know, and I think we were
it's
just
amazing.
There, like, you know, within the last couple of years and nothing. But it is one.
Yeah.
It's like one of those hidden gems that like people know about it, but the amount of activity that happens there is just really amazing.
And you kind of have to go armed for your safety.
Yeah.
So.
And what's the what's the name of the place? What's the name of the place again?
It's called the House of Wills, Wills, and it's in Cleveland, East Cleveland.
House of Wills in Cleveland. I've never been to Cleveland, so one of these days that'll be, if I go to Cleveland, that'll be on the stop.
There you
sure.
go. We'll meet you there.
We'll take you and have a drink.
That would be pretty
Mr. Wills will come out.
Goodness Lord. Mr. Wills, after you probably, after what happened the last time.
Right, yeah.
Well, hey, guys, I got to take off in about, like, 5 or so minutes, but now that you've freaked me out. We need to connect up on a serious, you know, more often. I really love connecting with people who are into the paranormal. And it's just exciting for me. I just really, you know, I mean, you guys have done more investigations than I've done. You know, I've done, you know, a fair amount, but you guys seem to have done quite a bit. I love to, you know, pick your brain from your stories. And I've interviewed a ton of people. I can share these stories all day. So I think we've got a lot in common, a lot we can give each other. And I just
definitely.
Find it fascinating. It's just such a great world, you know.
I love it.
Yeah, definitely.
We could talk paranormal for days. Yeah.
Amen. And you know what? We always say we don't have the exact number, but I know we've done over 1,000 investigations together. So it's kind of, you know, that does come in handy too, because I'll be like, you know, we'll know the situation that has presented itself, and we maybe have something that we've used or something that we know might work in that situation that we can then go to, and we both know. You know, I'm like, hey, go get this.
Right.
I'm already on it. You know, I'm going to get that device, or, you know, this is happening then. So here, so it's, you know, it's fun, and it's rewarding, and, you know, we don't do it for
never
the
a dull
wrong
moment.
Reasons, and we try to – never a dull moment.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We'll have to have you on again. I was going to – you know, we like the paranormal. We like sports. I like sports, so I was going to bring up the fact that everything that I read for you had the Dallas Cowboys in it. Now, I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan,
they make me crazy.
You know,
that team drives me crazy. Yeah, I'm a big Dodger and Cowboys fan, and they Dodgers did great last year, but the Cowboys they tease you and then they let you down. So that I'm used to being let down by the Cowboys, that's for sure. But your Browns, which I'm assuming you're a Browns fan, the Browns. I mean, speaking of, I know it's been rough, but at least you got it. You're looking on it. You're things are looking up. Put it like that. You beat the Steelers last year in the.
That's right.
I mean, so that's got to be something. You got to feel good deep in your soul. For that,
you know, that playoff game when it was like 35-0 in the second beginning of the second quarter, there was nothing that made me happier in that moment, you know, because
it was to the point where
I am a diehard Cleveland Browns fan. I'm a diehard Ohio State Buckeyes fan. Now the rival to Ohio State is obviously Michigan, which it makes me sick to say the word.
You said the M word.
Right, the M word. We were at a store in Gettysburg, and she was trying to buy a cell phone. The guy had Michigan shoes on. I wouldn't let her buy it. I was like, "We got to get out of here."
He was like, "Let's get out of here. I don't trust him. I don't trust that man. We need to get out of here." I'm like, "What is wrong with you? You're embarrassing me." Like, come on, man. It was all of his shoes. Okay, oddly enough.
This guy's looking shady. This guy's shady.
Yeah.
You know, don't trust the guy with Michigan shoes. I get it. Okay.
With that stupid yellow. You know, it's not even like a cool yellow. It's like a stupid yellow. So it's like a highlighter.
Right.
You know, so. My point is, it's like, you know, that rivalry kind of mimicked the Cleveland-Pittsburgh rivalry because it's a rivalry, like, it's by name it is, but yet, Ohio State, I think, has won, like, 22 out of the last 23 games. You know, and that's the same with the Browns and Steelers. Like, that's a rival, but yet the Steelers have dominated since they came back. So it was finally, finally this year. And here's even funnier. You know, we investigate with some of the players. And we've actually taken the players to the House of Wills, which is really interesting, too. We have,
players
come and investigate with us because they have no agenda. They're not, like, trying to, you know, like you said, they're just average people trying to, you know, it gets the experience. And I think it's always fun to get people out there who haven't gone out or maybe are just somewhat interested in it, and you take them to a place where people get possessed. Of course, I didn't tell them the story until we got there. I'm like, well, let me tell you a story about this basement. You know, then they're like, well, wait a minute. What did you say? You know, so.
Exactly. Yeah, well,
you know, that,
before
that is,
we... Uh, Yeah, thank you for, you know, coming on. We appreciate having you on. Tell everyone where they can listen to your podcast at.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me, for starters. And, yeah, you can check my podcast, Paranormalish. It's on most platforms, the iHeart app, Spotify, Apple, all that stuff, you know. So it's called Paranormalish. And you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter or whatever your social of choice is, just Jojo Wright, JOJOWRIGHT, Jojo Wright. And hit me up whenever.
Awesome.
I love talking about this stuff. I'm on them 24/7. And I can't wait to get back on the show with you guys. It's a real pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
No,
thank you for coming on and sharing
we'll
your stories with us.
We'll have to talk shop soon. So
love
thanks
that.
Again.
I got plenty more stories for you,
night.
And we'll do it. You too. Bye,
guys. An ongoing segment. All
take
right,
care.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Well, that was fun. He had me
definitely
with the Michael Jackson story.
Dude, I could totally talk to him for days.
Yeah, that was a good story.
Yeah.
Or the Halsey story.
Yeah, lots
of good
stories.
Yeah, we're.
I know, right? I cannot wait to tell Charlotte. I hope Charlotte's listening, my friend Charlotte, because she is like the biggest Halsey fan ever. So she'll eat that up. She'll love that.
Well,
like,
yeah,
she bought
me
a ticket to go to the Halsey concert, okay, all the way in Wisconsin. Like, he's a huge fan.
Well, and I think the fun part of our guest recently is, like, we're, even though he, you know, is in the paranormal and does do paranormal-related stuff, it's just, you know, we try to talk to guests who, like, don't just investigate. They also do other cool things, like when we had Philo
right.
on, he was talking about Walt Disney World and all the interesting hauntings and paranormal activity that happens at Walt Disney, and, you know, him going to dinner with Walt Disney and stuff. That was a, you know, show before last. So, you know, a lot of it, it's really interesting to get kind of the tie-ins between the paranormal and, you know, people you may recognize or name or places.
Not only that, but have you noticed, like, the paranormal ties, like, that all lead back to, like, Michael Jackson? There's, like, several times where, you know, we have had either, you know, discussions, you know, off, obviously off air, some business type discussions that involved like mm-hmm. the Jacksons and like things like that. So it's like, you know, I'd love to interview one of the Jacksons, one of their takes on paranormal as a whole. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah, I think it would be cool.
I think so too.
There was that
for
whole
sure.
like hoax video. Right? Wasn't there, like, where the Michael Jackson's ghost, like, walking down the halls of Neverland Ranch after he died? When there was, like, a news reporter
there
doing it.
Yeah.
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 We should look into that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, for sure.
Not doing
definitely.
Hoax videos of Michael Jackson.
No, like, doing, like, you know, digging a little deeper into the story.
I've always wanted to do a hoax video of Michael Jackson. It's been my lifelong dream.
Yeah, that would be weird.
It's not
that'd
me
be just
talking,
a random weird thing to
sorry.
Say. Like, you know, hey, you know, my lifelong dream, you know what I really wanted to do? But
yeah, like, well, I just
have
I just
myself
that
portray Michael
my,
Jackson.
That, was
that
my
would be weird.
Friend telling me to say that.
Right. There goes that imaginary
that
friend of yours again.
Remember
so is he gonna become your imaginary ex friend? My former
no.
friend? Oh, okay.
No, it'll be
you guys are
my,
tight.
I don't know. If you keep saying telling me to say, you know, dumb things and getting me in trouble, then maybe we'll have to move on and get a new one. And then who knows what he's gonna tell me
right.
to say. Or she. You just never
yeah,
know.
I know. You never know.
Mm-mm.
You know
it's
know.
One of those things about imaginary friends. You just can't see where they're coming from.
Oh,
I got
that was pretty
out.
Cheesy.
I made myself
that
up.
Was pretty bad.
Yeah,
that was pretty
it was
bad.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. Pretty lame, but that's okay.
Just can't
yeah.
tell where they're coming or going from. Tell you that much.
Oh my. Okay. Good boy.
Yeah. You,
yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't say, "Hey, what's wrong with you? Are you like on some sort of pain medication?" Because. That would have been
I
like
did it silently.
You,
look, you must have abilities. You must have read my mind.
I do have abilities.
Obviously. And I have the ability to know that it is time to tie up the show and thank everyone for tuning in. It's about that time.
So should I do it or should you just do it saying that we should do it?
You can reiterate it if you please. If you don't, then I guess I covered the bases. I don't know.
No, I think it was a great show. I want to thank
both
my co-host, which is you.
Thank you.
And our
thank
guest, JoJo Wright, for joining us tonight. And
check out his podcast, Paranormalish.
I like the name.
I do too. I like it. I dig it.
Yeah, I think
it's like my Squamish, you know, it's got the ish, and I like the ish.
Something that we should have came up with that we didn't come
up
with.
Yeah, why didn't we think of that?
And, I don't know. That's what kind of irks me about the whole thing.
Yeah, I know, because like it's out there, you know, so you can't be like somewhat paranormalish, because that's just biting off of it. You know, we've had people do that to us, so obviously we'd never do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I give them kudos on the name.
But I do like
it. I dig it. It's
like
pretty
it.
Clever. I do too.
And I do feel bad that we didn't come up with it.
Me too. I'm a little disappointed in us.
Hmm.
All right. Now we're going to have to start really working hard on coming up with some catchy, you know, some names. Like
Spotlight Radio-ish.
Doesn't work.
No.
Live-ish Paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Live-ish.
It's okay. I still think it's like biting off of the term, so I think
we'll work on that, and
we'll
either see everyone next week on some sort of broadcast. I know we've been talking about possibly doing. We're upping our live stream game, and there's some cool features we might be offering, and some things that I have looked into today and did a bunch of research on that I have not yet told my co-host about and co-owner about that I think is going to be pretty interesting and something we can incorporate. So we'll have
that would be cool, and
that,
I could
so.
Be like coming back from the dead because I feel like I've been like live stream dead.
We've still put a lot of stuff out. We're not dead.
I know, but I'm just saying like I really miss it, and I feel like, you know, it's something that I haven't done enough of in the last, you know, probably year or maybe a little more even. And, you know, I need to bring it back from the dead, myself back from the dead.
Well, I'm pretty sure we're going to be bringing it back. And we're going to be bringing it back for an exclusive group of supporters. And that's about all I'm going to say. So
that's exciting.
You know, we've got our supporters who really enjoy all of our live streams. And, you know, they're like,
and we appreciate
them. We do, you know, incorporate them into our investigations, and now they'll be able to have a more exclusive look and, you know, get a chance to ask more questions and stuff. So look for that information soon, and we'll see everyone or talk to everyone or have them listen to us next Tuesday.
Sounds good.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-ish.
That was a better sound off than mine. I like it.
I know. Bye. Bye-ish. Bye-bye.